secure and carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Do you say that this afternoon? Be it unto me according to thy word, according to your promises. I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Let's just invite him in. Oh, be it unto me. According to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure and call. Truth that sets me free. According to your word, dear Lord, be it unto me. Amen. Is that your desire this afternoon? Be it unto me. I tell you, when the word of the Lord comes forth, that should be the cry of our heart. Be it unto me. It's receiving him, the word that we have, he has for us in this day. Let's sing that once more as we stand, as Brother Terrence comes this afternoon. Be it unto me according to thy word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Sets me free according to your word, O Lord, be it unto me.
Hallelujah. Let's see one out with us. We got to go over our birthday list. January is the longest. Well, no, maybe April. There's a lot of people born in January. So here we go. Mercy had a birthday. She had one yesterday. She turns 10 years old. Mercy is 10 years old yesterday. Mercy, that's what I say, mercy. Like I said downstairs, Rhino looks like he can have a 10 or 12 year old, but Gabby don't look like that. She can have no 10 or 12 year old. Rhino looked like he'd been rode hard and put up wet in that truck a few times. So, but he's okay. All right, the rest of them is little John Durrett's got one this month. He's got, actually his is today. Is it not? Am I looking at this right? Trudy Collins is today. Wow. Little Bella's got one. Brother Robbie's got one coming up. Let's see. Nyla's got one. Brother Ray Gabriel. Josiah. Monica. Sister Anna Marunga. Kaylee and Zoe. Both of them got a birthday this month. Same day. Sarah's got one the same day they are, so they're all the same age. Sarah Roberts and Zoe and Kaylee. And Ruth McFerrin and Wade's got one. Sister Ruth has got one the 25th. Yeah, same day. They're all born the same, on the same day. So let's sing happy birthday with a special happy birthday to the ones that are at the birthdays today, but everybody in January. We'll let you go
with E-flat. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you ever had. Oh, happy birthday.
We've got a few announcements to make. We'll read these and then we'll go. Then we got a few prayer requests. Remember this, the fellowship meeting is coming up Saturday, January the 19th. Make sure the brothers bring drinks, sisters bring your food early and warm. The food has to be hot before the warmers keep it hot. Sisters, bring what is on your list. If you're not coming, send your food or ask someone to bring it for you. The last time Brother Forney came and preached for us, and he's preaching at this one, we had about 150 people here. So they, a lot of people come, you know, come to him. So make sure we're bringing everything. It says our church is a big family. Let's all help young and old. Let's do your part by putting food in the refrigerator for Sunday lunch, if we have anything left. Clean up after your children. Clean the tables, floor before we leave. If we all work together, we can all fellowship with our guests. So just trying to make the point that everybody needs to do their part. Everybody work together and everybody get it done. So just remember that, where everybody can fellowship a little bit. Also, we got to read the Valentine's banquet, which is February the 16th. Pictures will be at 4:00 until 5:00. Please sign up downstairs on the refrigerator in the fellowship hall downstairs. 5:00 we'll be eating, so just make sure that you're there. It's going to be at Loretta's, like it always is. If you don't know where that's at, if some of you new ones that are coming, ask around. We'll get you there. It's not that hard to find, so just remember that. Also, the parents, please pick up the Youth Foundation sermon quizzes downstairs for January. For the next 5 months, we will be listening to the Seven Seal series. The sermons to listen to with your children for the month of January is, God hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. And also the breach between the seventh church age and the seventh seals. Included with the sermon quizzes this month are two worksheets. So remember that. They're downstairs. Make sure if you're in this program, make sure that you pick up your youth quizzes downstairs. Okay, also remember adult group practice after second service today. If you're in the adult group practice, which I am not, so I'm going home. Nobody's ever asked me and Brother Colley to get involved with it. So we're going home, isn't that right, Brother Colley? Nobody wants us to sing, so nobody's ever asked, so we're going to the house. The rest of y'all can stay in practice. So just remember that. Sister Jeannie is sick. Remember Sister Jeannie today? She's running a fever. From this morning, Brother Colley gave one. Says Sister Jean is sick. Remember her also. Esther Black is at home with the flu, so remember her. And Lily and Anna are both sick at home, so remember those today. Still going around, so try to get that stuff out of here. We don't want it no more. And just remember those. That's all I've got up here. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling. Remember, Brother Louise is traveling. Just be with him and where he's preaching today. Bless him. Bless all the other ones, Lord, that may be traveling, wherever they may be today. Come down and bless them, be with them, and guide them. Lord, there was a request. There's still sickness in the church here, Lord, and the people are at home listening in because of being sick. Just come down and bless them all and be with them. Be with the rest of the service. Give Wade strength that we have the right attitude to listen to what's being said, Lord. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us for all of our sins, and we love you for your many, many blessings you give us on a daily basis. Be with us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Holy believe. Holy believe. Holy believe. And all things are possible. Holy believe. Holy believe. Holy believe. For all things are possible. Holy believe. Oh, he became me that I
Thankful for our kinsman redeemer this afternoon. Amen. As Brother Terrence was saying, this month we're going to go through the SEAL series for the next 5 months with the Young Foundation quizzes. I want to make this quick announcement. Now, this is for anybody that would like to spend time going through the SEAL series. I talked to Brother Wade, and of course, he's going through the SEAL series. But if you want to be a participant in it, take time each month to listen to the Word of God. Let Him come into your house in the evenings. Because, you know, in the scriptures, in the garden, it says the voice walked in fellowship with Adam and Eve. So just don't wait till you come to church. Take time with your children, but each of you. But we have two worksheets for the little ones. And so if you want these, meet me after service and I can print it out for you, because it's a blessing. It's a blessing to go through the SEAL series and to be full of the Word before you get here so you can understand what's preached. Amen. Amen. Brother Mark, would you come this afternoon and take the tithes and offering for us?
Lord Jesus, we love you, Father. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Let's turn to page 469, the Spiral Songbook. You can have it close nearby. Sing this little chorus, "Wherever I Go." No matter wherever we go, we should be a witness for Him. Amen. Wherever I go, I'll praise. praise him wherever I can. I'll praise him for his love surrounds me like a sea. And I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for that name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I go, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. And I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. And wherever I go, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. And I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for that name of Jesus, has his name lifted you this afternoon? Oh, wherever I go, I'll praise him. Wherever I can, I'll praise him, for his love surrounds me like a sea. And I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, that's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, that's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new. I'm a brand new man. Glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day. This is the day. This is the day. I tell you, that sermon this morning, it just opened more and more of who we are in Christ. We always say when the day comes when the bride recognizes who she is, well, we're here. And I believe we are recognizing our position in Christ. Amen. We haven't made up the list of the special singing for this year. Does anyone have a special song? If you do, we're going to sing another song. And afterwards, just raise your hand and you can come up here and bless us with a selection. Okay. Let's sing that little chorus. I want to live the way he wants me to live in the key of F. Amen. I tell you, it's the word living through us. We want that desire to always be what he wants. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. For I can never outlove the Lord. Is that your prayer this afternoon? Special brother Terrence has a special. All right, come on up, sister. Let's sing that once more as she comes this way. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love.
Pray for me on this song. I don't think she knows. It's Shout to the Lord. So if you guys want to help me on the chorus, I owe somebody else a song. I want to sing something different today. So I'm going to sing my old song again next time. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shall roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Jesus, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. You're my comfort and my shelter. Oh, all of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. You're my comfort and my shelter, my tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to our King. Mountains bow down and the seas, they shall roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Shout out. of the king in the camp. Amen. That's that shout of jubilee that's coming forth right now through the opening of the word. Let's change the order of the service as we sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Brother Wade comes this afternoon. Pull on the word. I tell you, it's the season for it. Maybe it's just me and in where I am in my experience with the Lord, but I tell you, that word is opening. And this is, I'm looking forward in this year with great expectations. It's more of the word opening. This is the time. This is the season. And we are the people for this time. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you.
Hope you didn't come to see a human today. Hope you come to see God Almighty in human flesh. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you. Happy New Year to all of you. We probably had the biggest group, Watch Night group we'd ever had. A lot of you weren't here, so if you'd all come, we'd have had a full house. But we had pretty much full house and had a good time. Had a good time, Brother Chris. Did a real good job. He said, tell everybody, hey, he's traveling back tomorrow, I think. Or maybe it was yesterday. I can't remember. But he said to tell you again, God bless you. And love you with the love of the Lord. Let me read something real quick that we got on the internet. I believe it's sometimes we think we're walking through the valley of dry bones and sometimes we have a real narrow perspective of what's going on, but as Brother Joe told us, for those of you that weren't here on Watch Night Service, Brother Joe kind of gave us a overview of the views of the internet, which was up into the hundreds of thousands of time and all that, hours and all, or thousands of hours of time. And I believe he said we reached every country now. Every country in the world has clicked on our internet site. So we had missed one or two the last time, but now I think we've covered them all. But listen to this. It says, Brother Dale, I just want to say that your series on the baptism with the Holy Ghost is probably the best I've ever heard. I believe it behooves us as Christians to examine ourselves and our experience with the Word of God to make sure we have what we claim we have. I have for some time now struggled to dovetail all the details of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the things of sensations and such. I studied intently on the subject through Brother Brown's teachings, and I knew the baptism was not the shouting and the tongues, but was the Word of God coming alive in you. It's a revelation, and mine was Romans chapter 8 concerning the love of God in Christ Jesus. That revelation changed me, and I was never the same again. I knew that's where I met my Lord. there was no sensation, just a revelation. I didn't even really understand entirely what happened that night. Just that I was his and he was mine, but Satan warred with my mind on sensations and such, and after seeking God for answers, I can say he has used your sermons to confirm me and reveal himself in me all over again. Thank you, brother, for the wonderful teaching. I have been wonderfully blessed, and I praise God for the operation of the Holy Ghost through you, brother blank blank, Revealed Word Tabernacle. So we just got that today, so... Some people don't sleep through the sermon. Some people, yeah, hallelujah. I heard that. But let's turn to Revelation 6. We're going to get started today. We, at the end of the service, we need to, number one, we prayed over a few prayer cloths to send to Mary and Micah, but we've got some more we want to pray over, and y'all can send them to them. Kathy and Ray, you have their new address? Okay. We're going to give you these. She requested us to give, pray over them so they can take them to their new home over in Japan. So we're going to pray over a few more. That's probably not enough to hang over the doors and put in the cars and all that. So we're going to pray over a few more at the end of the service. All of us are going to pray, and we'll send the other ones. I'll give them to y'all, and y'all can send them. Okay. Just pray for Mary and pray for Mary and Micah. That's a commendable thing to do. If you're going overseas to another country, need all the help you can get. Amen. And there's one thing about our Lord. He's never out of Wi-Fi range. He doesn't need a tower. He doesn't need a satellite or a cell phone. No, he's ever present, and he'll be right there with them in Japan. So, Lord bless you. Remind me, though. I'm going to leave these right here. So if I don't, just remind me. Revelation 6. Today we're going to still continue on the fifth seal, part 7. And I want to title this one, Blinded by Grace. Think of that, blinded by grace, right? Because it was grace that was extended to these fifth seal Jews. And grace is unmerited favor, nothing they did. But it was done by God himself because of an act of grace. And actually, grace is what blinded him. Your grace. The grace he went and came and got a Gentile bride. That grace is what blinded him. The grace to you, where the headstone cries, grace, grace unto it. That's you and I. You and I, the grace that God extended to us blinded his own children. And therefore, being a just God, he gives them eternal life. Amen. So let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we have. This time that we've come to reflect on the Word, Lord, as Brother Dale's been preaching, it's not letters on a page, because all that'll pass away. But Lord, the Word manifested in a heart, as this brother just sent us the email there, that's the living Word of God, made manifest in a human being. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one here in the sanctuary, Lord, be with the ones that are sick, ones that couldn't be with us. Lord, we pray that you'd just be the active participant in this service. You do the speaking, you do the hearing, and only you can do the revealing. Father, just let it not be a meeting of minds. Lord, let the word sink deep in our heart and show us what day and time we're living in and show us our position so that we can become better Christians. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Bless Brother Luis and him on the way back. Get him back here safe, Lord, with his family. Lord, just bless us now and be with the other missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord. Brother Noel Johnson comes to mind, Lord. His wife's having some trouble with her heart, so he's not going to get to go to India as long as he wanted to. Lord, I pray that you would just give him fruit for his labor, Lord. He labors every year over there, Lord, and we pray that you'd just touch him. Just bless us now in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. So now we've been talking a little on the fifth seal here. This is number 7. And we know one thing's for sure. We're not going to bring the chart out. But we know that we've come to the fifth seal. And this fifth seal, each seal to me, I was thinking the other day, that each seal, sure, it has the seal meaning, has the seal that we were talking about, had the seal on it, where the first seal was the white horse rider, was the Antichrist and the things he'd done. But then when that book opened, we saw the thunder underneath that seal that spoke of our redemption. All right, so the redemption of our whole being comes under that seal. We're talking about your human body. Amen? Your human body. Amen? Is to be redeemed, and potentially it's already redeemed. It was redeemed at Calvary. Amen? And we just got to come to a realization of that. Because Satan has worked through that memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination to tell us that that's not true. Okay, well, Christ is in the soul. He is the soul. He's trying to tell us that he's already done it. So there's your war. There's your, your Brother Brown made the illustration of white dog, black dog, and I've heard people preaching the message that that was in your soul. That's not in your soul. You're either black dog or white dog in your soul. But what happens is when the white dog enters the soul, the black dog tries to come back in. Right. So it moves out to that next realm, which is the spirit realm. Right. And there's your black dog, white dog fight. Because listen, there's no, if you're born again today, there's no fight in your soul.
Right.
Jesus said, come to me all that labor and heavy laden and I'll give you rest.
Right.
It's not the day of Sunday we come to rest. No, we fight and work on Sunday. For Christians like we do, you know, most people in the world, they rest on Sunday. Well, we don't rest on Sunday. No, we fight. Amen. We fight all 7 days a week. But Sunday we have to fight because we come into one group and we have to fight the devil to get here. We have to fight the devil while we're here and we have to fight him when we leave. Amen. So that's all. Is that okay? But our soul is at rest. Your soul is not in a fight. It's God.
Amen.
It's that next realm that's got to be worked on. The memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. That's what we got to work on, that realm.
Amen.
And I believe that's where the seals work on that realm.
Come on.
Shows us that we're already justified. As we said before, seal one being justification as though you never did it. Seal number two, the red horse. Red's always sanctification. The sanctification of your spirit realm, which is the statue of a perfect man. Because remember, think of this. I was thinking of this last night. We were talking in the Bible study. Can I make a point here?
Yes.
Can I?
Yes.
Do you mind?
Yes.
I'm going to anyway.
Yes.
Listen, if you hold an office in this church, you should be at Bible study every. That's only 12 Saturdays a year. If you hold an office in this church, you should be at church every service. Because people are watching you. And some of you hold offices and you don't come to Bible study and you don't. Why? You shouldn't be an officer. Amen? You should not be an officer. Thank you, Brother Dick. Amen, he said. You shouldn't be an officer. All right, look. These characteristics emanate from your soul.
Right.
Because you're not looking at the knowledge of man.
Right.
You're looking at the knowledge of God.
Right.
That comes from your soul. That's what we were talking about last night. These are the what? Stature of this man right here.
Right.
And he is where? He's in your soul if you're born again.
Right.
So he is... These virtues are emanating from the soul outward to get into the spirit realm.
Right.
You just got to let it out.
Right.
And work on this and let it out, let it out, let it keep working out. And then it's just going to change this guy.
Amen.
It's just going to change it.
Amen.
I mean, we've already come to a temporary change. You don't do the things you used to do you?
Right.
Huh? You don't do the things you used to do. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Amen? Okay? So if you did not go to church, you ought to what? Okay. I've always said, key. Jim, you don't need to wash this vest anymore. I've always said the people that come to Bible study really are the ones that don't need it. The ones that don't come is the ones that need it. One more time?
Yeah.
Think about it. Anyway, well, you know what? Bible study, we talk about God. We don't talk about...
Right.
I'd feel left out, I guess. I mean, you know, there's sometimes you can't come. I know that, and you know that, too. But, man, there's 52 Sundays in a year. You ought to be able to make about 50 of them. I mean, everybody takes a two-week vacation, right? But some of you come twice and take a 52-week vacation. So anyway, no, if you want to be spiritually fed, you got to go, you got to get to where the food's at, right? Well, I can't, okay, I can't, I thought, I can't, yeah. Because you know what? This bride, we were talking about this a little bit last night, this bride is an overcoming bride. We're not just bride, and then you just lay back. No, you'll fight your way all the way through. Amen? This is not a picnic. Clear your schedule for God, and I'll promise you He'll make time for you. Amen? All right, so now we come to the black horse. The black horse we see is a new birth, which is coming to adoption in the statue of a perfect man. We know we get the spirit of adoption when we're born again, but we are coming to a place of adoption.
Right.
Amen? Yes. Seal number four is all those wrapped up together, which is the Word made flesh.
Glory.
Are the body chains, because remember, on the fourth seal, we take a rapture, so there has to be a body chain somewhere in there.
Amen?
Amen? Because we're leaving. Now that's, you just got to see that when we leave this earth, we as the bride of Jesus Christ have already come to full adoption.
Amen.
We've all come to full revelation of a body change. Amen? Not another body. See, that's the lazy people that don't come to church. No, I've got to fight to keep this thing under control. You and I have got to fight to keep this thing under control. And the bride's caught up on the fourth seal.
Right.
So now we've been talking about the fifth seal, which is the higher form of justification,
right,
that you realize that the real you never did it.
Right.
Doesn't matter what your mind says.
Right.
And we were talking last night, don't get this to where there's so much sinless perfection that we're going to come to a place to where, you know, we don't have a bad thought. Please. Brother Brown said this thing's going to be sticky all the way to the change. So that's what I said. It's a fight all the way to the change. Amen. So you must fight to know the real you never did it. And to know the real you never did it is to see yourself in the Word. That Genesis 1:26 man is that person residing in you today, and that man never did it. Amen. And you will only see it. We were talking yesterday, last night in the Bible study. This is full revelation, folks. We've got the full, we are in a buffet.
Right.
That Golden Corral, Ryan's. Anybody hungry yet? And the Chinese buffet that you can get anything that your heart's desire. This is way past that. During the ages, they had certain places they could go to. Some got McDonald's. Some got a steak. But you and I, all we got to do is walk in and say, I want this, and God will already have it there for you. Because you and I now have the revelation. Even, see, Paul, catch what Brother Dale's talking about. When John is riding on the Isle of Patmos, he's in the first church age. But the second's never come. The third's never come. Fourth, man, he's just in the very beginning of Christianity. But he's telling us what was going to happen to us 2,000 years and past. Another 1,000 for the millennium and then going into the future home. He's telling us the whole thing. And remember, it was only compiled in a book about Luther's time, to where we can say we have a Bible and we can read Genesis through Revelation.
Amen.
So a lot of it had to be that you believe what the preacher said. But now, you should believe what a good gospel preacher says. But you still should check it out, and you got plenty of resources. You know, I was looking about the Holocaust, and we're going to talk about that because that's what comes into the fifth seal. Just put in Holocaust in the computer. You can read for 2 hours about what happened to the Jews. Because listen, that's what I was saying before. John saw a fifth seal Jew. You and I have that history available to us. He did not. He didn't. I don't believe John, when he wrote the fifth seal, he wrote what he saw. I don't believe he said, now this is going to be the Holocaust Jews, and there's 6 million of them going to be killed by a man named Eichmann and Hitler. And but we do. We have that at our disposal. And for those of you that think it don't happen, you're contrary to the Bible. The Bible says it happened. So I don't need somebody to tell me that the Holocaust didn't happen. Now please, that's just pitiful. It happened because the Word said it happened. A prophet of God said it happened. Amen? So I don't have to have anybody else's opinion that it didn't happen. Right? So now, we are now under the fifth seal. We're going to see, like I said before, blinded by grace. A group had to be blinded so that you and I could come in. Because if not, he would have come to them, they would have accepted it, and we would have not been included, because according to the Old Testament, you and I might have a little bit of chance to get in, a little piece, but not the fullness that we see now. Right. Amen? Right. Or you can see where we talked about the Gentiles being grafted in, but now the Gentiles were grafted in. The true grafting was after Jesus had died and the Jews had put him on the cross. But now you got to remember, I'm the one that put him on the cross. But physically, the Jews 2,000 years ago, they said, let his blood be on us and our children. Rejected that Messiah that came to them. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Amen. But you and I are recipients of God blinding the eyes of the Jews, and so that you and I could be the wild olive branch, could be grafted in. And then, as we said before, it's not just the branch, because the branch lives off the life. And the life is totally that old part of the Jewish tradition, the old part of the Jewish life. That's what the prophet said. He didn't kill the life. He just took an olive branch off of another tree and grafted it right in. Lived off the life. You and I live off the life of the Old Testament. You know why? Because Brother Branham said Jesus' body was what? Formed by the Old Testament prophets. If you can't see Christ in every verse, read it again. Now that goes back to, like Brother Tom used to say, them old war stories got a little mundane, or, you know, this one begot this one and that one killed this one. But it all is in type coming down showing Jesus Christ. Because the prophet said, if you can't see Christ in every verse, then you need to read it again. All right, so now we're in the fifth seal. Everybody okay? Yes. All right, so now let's read the first one. Let's just read these quotes real quick to just catch everybody back up. Number one. O Lamb of God, come forward, we pray. We call on you, Lord, the great Redeemer. Come forth and show us your plan of redemption. Now, he's on the fifth seal, and he's still talking about the plan of redemption. Because, literally, the fifth seal Jew is considered in the plan of redemption. But you and I get the spiritual part. Because remember, in Revelation 4:1, we're caught up. Not seen until Revelation 19. None of that is to us in the literal part. Revelation 10, brother. Well, Revelation 10 is to us. But it's also to Israel. Amen? They have to live the book. Amen? In the days of the voice. You know, I like that because when Brother Dale said that, I thought, well, I've never seen it that way. It doesn't say in the days of the written word. That's right. No. It says in the days of the voice. Right. Now, you know what I do? I'm like John on Patmos. I'm standing and I'm looking, and a voice says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I hear the voice. I turn to see William Branham. Because we know the, no, wait a minute. I hear the voice of that seventh angel prophet.
Right.
But when I turn, I see the Son of Man.
Yeah.
I do just like John.
Right.
I turn, I see the bride. So when I listen to a tape, I don't see William Branham.
Right.
I've never seen him before physically.
Right.
Some of you have, but I have never seen him. You know, well, yeah, we saw him in 1950 on the movie, but that's not in person. But I know his voice. And like John on Patmos, I turn to see the voice. Well, when I put a tape on, I don't see William Branham.
Right.
I see a voice talking to me, talking to a bride.
Right.
And I see that he has brought us a word to the bride.
Amen.
To make a bride for this seventh church age. The bride, you know, I read the other day, Brother Branham said, the angel said, what? You'll be gathered with your people. He said, oh, Branham? They said, no, you're converts. The people that are converted under your message or under your ministry. That's what we're sitting under now.
Right.
We're sitting under where John gets the book and he eats the book in Revelations 10:8. That book has John didn't take the book and start walking into the different countries.
Right.
You don't see the book no more. John becomes the book.
Amen.
Or the book becomes John. Because when he eats the book disappears.
Right.
That's the same thing with you and I. But as long as we got, and sure, we like to read quotes. But if that quote doesn't come alive, I can make it say a whole lot of different things.
Right.
Like this morning, you want to know it? Here's an example. In Sunday school class this morning, we were reading in Romans. And Paul was talking about kind of like the nine spiritual gifts. In other words, he was giving us a list of things, and Aaron read them off for us. But you know what I done? When I read a couple of those passages of Scripture, my mind immediately went to Robert Tatum. The characteristic Robert Tatum had was in that sentence in that Scripture. And some of you agree because we know Brother Tatum. If I can't read it, it wasn't part of what I was going to talk about. But the same thing. But so did that word stay on the page? It became alive.
Right.
Because Robert Tatum lived that scripture.
Amen.
So when I see that scripture, I see a person. He used to sit right here. I see that person. That's what you got to see. You got to see yourself in the Word, but when you're reading the Word, you see others.
Come on, brother.
Because it brings to your memory how that there's one where Brother Dale was long-suffering. Everybody shake your head. Yeah, he's long-suffering. I told him one time, a long time ago, I said, how do you put up with these people? I'll not tell you what he said, but that was my question. But you know what? He had patience. That's why.
Right.
Amen? That's why that patience is right there.
Right.
Kind of up, higher up, close to the statue, to the top of the pyramid, is to have patience. Brother Brown said have patience with God, but he also said have patience with the people. So he's long-suffering, and so is God. He's long-suffering with me and you.
Amen?
Amen? So now let's read the second one. So we're still talking about breaking the fifth seal shows us the plan of redemption, which to me it shows us grace, grace, amazing grace.
Right.
Amen? Now let's go to number two, the fifth seal. Now notice the ninth verse, souls under the altar. Now here's where I'm getting some agreement, but just watch for a minute. I thought that too, but it didn't come that way. I've always thought that these souls under the altar were the martyrs of the early church. Now, listen, hold that word martyrs, because we got to talk about that in a little bit. Because remember, the fifth seal Jew is not a Jew that just died a natural death. I'll read you where Brother Brown said it's they're under the martyr's altar, and a martyr is someone that is killed for a purpose. Okay, so it's not every Jew. And my question is, I'm going to ask you this question. There was a lot of Jews that survived the Holocaust. And they died a natural death. Were they fifth seal Jew? Because Brother Brown says they got to be martyred. They got to be killed for that purpose.
Right.
Maybe they weren't predestinated. Maybe they weren't part of God's plan. Because I'm going to tell you, Brother Brown said only those that are predestinated, Jews is the ones he's going to save.
Right.
So that's my question. There were some that survived that could tell us what went on.
Right?
So they had to survive. There was about 100 out of that article I'm going to read you in a few minutes. They were killing 14,000 Jews a day. You imagine a slaughter of 14,000 people a day for 20-something days straight. Don't tell me it's not real. The martyrs, he thought this was the martyrs of the early church. I thought so myself. But when the Holy Spirit showed division, it isn't the souls. So none of this fifth seal, look, none of this fifth seal is talking about a Christian martyr,
right.
A Christian person. It's not talking about anybody with the new birth. The fifth seal Jew is a group of people that's given white robes after they've died.
Right.
A martyr's death.
Right.
Everybody okay? That's a specific, because remember now look, Gentiles were saved as numbers. We don't know what that number is. But there's going to be just 144,000 saved, 12,000 out of each tribe. And there's only going to be a fifth seal Jew that's included in the martyrdom between, Brother Brown, I'll read it in a little while, the cross and right now. Okay? So there's a specific group. Because he deals with the Jews as a nation. Jews. Israel. You and I or whatever. Doesn't matter. We're Caucasian, so we're everything. So these are not the souls of the bride church. So forget about the fifth seal Jew. Let's make it plain. If it was that, it would be real simple. Because I accepted eternal life here. I get my robe and then I go get in another dimension when I pass away. But what about a group of people that live their whole life not caring to hear about Jesus Christ? Because he wasn't the Messiah to them. But I'm a Jew. I'm God's chosen. So I am going to live that life. Doesn't matter if Germany comes or whoever comes, Poland or whoever comes and says, we're going to kill you for being a Jew. Well, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm a Jew. So boom, they take them and put them in a gas chamber. That person's going to get eternal life for being who they are. Not the testimony of Jesus Christ, but the testimony they held. That's what the Bible says. All right. So there's not the souls of the bride church. To me, that's the easy part. You get eternal life here, you go into sixth dimension. But you take the fifth seal Jew, it's just a Jew. That doesn't get a white robe here, they don't live a Christian life here. They could be smokers and drinkers and all those things. But they gave their life for being a Jew. And they're put in a place, and they're in a holding place, waiting for something else to happen, all right? And then they're given white robes because of what God did, blinding their eyes. We'll read it in just a minute. Brother Brown nails it. Of course, he nails it all the time, but I found a quote where he really, really narrows it down. So now look, so the fifth seal, I don't need to read the rest of that quote. The fifth seal Jew is not a Christian Jew. Alright, so it's not somebody that give their life for the gospel or for the testimony of Jesus Christ. No, it said for the word of God. What? They were in the word of God and the testimony that they held. Alright, so let's go to the seal. The seal says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony.
Right.
Can we change that, please? To the seal, Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. No, the other way. No, the other way. No. There you go. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They held on. They didn't try to hide. They were Jews. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, they've got enough consciousness to know that something happened to them while they were alive, and they were put in this place for a purpose.
Right.
Because they looked to this side, and they looked to that side, and it's their people that they died in the death camps with, and places like that. Okay, and they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. In other words, what, you know, what I would say is, hold on a minute. You know how a Jew is. They're pretty high strung. Cause that's what they're saying. They said with a loud voice. They cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord? So he said, rest for a little season until your fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So we now, these were souls under, now I want to add a word here because Brother Branham adds the word later on. These are under the martyr's altar.
Right. Okay.
Christians are not under martyr altar.
Right.
They're under the altar of God, the sixth dimension. They're in that sixth dimension where perfect love, where the new birth, you have the new birth here. That's what takes you when you pass away. It takes you into that sixth dimension. Is everybody okay with that? But the martyr's altar, now sure there were 68 million Christians killed. They were martyred. But they just went in the sixth dimension. Okay? They're in the sixth dimension with Columbus group. Amen? They're gathered with their group and they're waiting dimension inside of a dimension. Amen? That okay? Because Brother Brown didn't see Paul. He didn't see Irenaeus. He didn't see Martin. The angel said, you're gathered with your people. So they're standing a dimension inside a sixth dimension, has probably seven dimensions. You got Paul's group over here, you got Irenaeus, because you're gathered with your age. And they're gathered what? They gathered for the word of God. Why? They're Jews. The testimony they held. And then judge and avenge our blood, so they've got an attitude a little bit. Because Brother Brown said a Christian wouldn't do that. A Christian would say, forgive them, Lord, but these people are not saying, they're not very forgiving. Judge and avenge our blood, right? So white robes are given because of what God did. He gave them white robes, and they got a rest for a little season. What? 2,000 years. During that 2,000 years, they got a rest for a little while until their fellow servants and brethren are killed, which will be, as Brother Branham will tell us in a minute, the 144,000 that's killed when we leave. We were talking about that last week on the 70 weeks of Daniel. So now let's go to the transgression. Just keep going up. No signal. All right, let's read the transgression. Remember we're in Jeremiah? There we go. All right, the Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up on every high mountain and every green tree and played the harlot. And let's just read the red part. Whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So anyway, God put them away.
All right,
put them, give them a billing of divorcement. And put them away, and they are not to be his wife anymore.
Right.
They're to be servants.
Right.
Because he's fixing to take a new wife.
Right.
A Gentile bride.
Right.
Amen? Let's roll it up and read the red part down there. It says, then say, go proclaim these words. Say, go return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, graceful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you and I will take you one of a city and two of a family and I will bring you to Zion. Jeremiah 31, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And with the house of Jacob, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they'll all know him. For they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Right.
That fifth sealed Jew, in God's eyes, has no sin.
That's
He can't give them eternal life and see their sin. Blinded by grace. Can I interject myself here for a minute? God is blinded by grace. He don't see your sin, does he? He doesn't see your sin, does he? What blinded him? The grace that he gave to you. Oh, think about that. That was fresh. I didn't have that in my note. All right, let's go to the next one. Romans 11. Wilt thou then the branch was broken off that I might be grafted in? Now, we talked about that last Sunday. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. So when Christ died on the cross, their unbelief broke them off from anything to God. Amen? When they said, let his blood be on us and our children, God cut the Jews off and blinded their eyes.
Right.
So that the Gentiles could come in.
Right.
That 69 weeks of Daniel was over. Okay. 1 week left after the rapture, according to the Bible. According to the Bible. Only 3.5 years of preaching left to them. You don't get 3.5 years of preaching. You only get 3.5 years of tribulation. But there's 7 years left, according to the Bible.
Right.
Amen? I don't care what anybody says. I really don't. If an angel from heaven comes and preaches any other thing, let him be accursed. You say, oh. No, because you know what? He can't deny what he said in the Bible. He can't deny that. He shall make a covenant with many for 1 week. Who's he? He's the Antichrist. What's 1 week? 1 week equals 7 years. Good grief. So, you know what? It's so simple, it blinds 99% of the people in this message, it blinds their eyes. Amen? And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. What's he going to do? He's going to take, he grafted us in during the 2,000 years of the church ages. Then he's not going to forget them. He's going to take and graft them right back in of the 144,000 during that 1 year, or 7 years. Of time after the rapture. Of us. Our rapture. We're gone. We have nothing to do with that. We listen. The best thing we can do is do like I did a couple years ago. Take the Daniel 70 weeks from a total Jewish perspective because it is not to us. It's not. It's not for us. Now it shows us in it. Where there's a division there, where the church ages come in. But that's not to us. That's to them. They get the 70 years of captivity. They get the 70 weeks. We're gone when that last week starts. Amen? But now look, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So it's a mystery. But now remember, even to Paul it was a mystery. Because he didn't break that fifth seal. That seal didn't break during Paul's time. He prophesied of it. But he did have a revelation that blindness happened to Israel that the fullness of the Gentiles could come in. He didn't know about the engrafting. He could see all that grafting in and grafting out and putting in the wild olive. Because that's in the Old Testament. That's in the Old Testament. Paul could read that. But see, it doesn't say blindness, but watch this. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit. The blindness in parts happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, you and I are right at the cusp of that. The fullness of the Gentiles. You and I finish up the fullness of the Gentiles. Everybody that's in the seventh church age, we are the end. We're the end of the whole Gentile dispensation. That blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Don't you think God, he's just waiting. He wants to go to that 144,000. Listen, in a type with Joseph in just a minute, Joseph was so glad to see his brethren, but what was one kid he was glad to see? He was glad to see old Benjamin. He hugged him and cried. Why? Because they had the same mama. And he was born after Joseph had left. And what's that a type of? The 144,000, that little Benjamin group.
That's right.
Joseph went straight to him.
Glory.
And so all Israel shall be saved. That is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer. and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, who's Jacob? Israel. Jacob is Israel. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now, his covenant is that sixfold purpose. Because that's the restoration and the saving of Israel. Which is what? Making end of sin, reconciliation for iniquity, bringing everlasting righteousness, all those things. You understand that?
Yes.
That's what I said. The sixfold purpose to me explains all of Daniel 70 weeks if you'll just read the sixfold purpose.
Amen?
Because the first three has to happen during the time of the two prophets. The other three has to happen while everybody's gone, because you can't bring in everlasting righteousness before the battle of Armageddon.
That's right.
Hello? You can't anoint the temple before the battle of Armageddon. There is no temple. So it has to be built after the two prophets are gone. It has to be built going into the millennium. And then that sixfold purpose, a wonderful statement. Brother Dale Mays, the sixfold purpose puts Israel in the millennium. The revelation of the six seals puts us in the millennium. Amen. So it's for both of us. It parallels just a wonderful, wonderful thing that we don't have time right now to go through the Daniel 70 weeks. We went through it last week. If you have any questions, please ask a question. I mean, I don't mind. We've been over this so much, so man, we ought to know it just.
Right.
It ought to be a part of us.
Right.
And we shouldn't, like I said, but here we go again. We shouldn't have to go back and say Brother Branham said. Because he said what the Bible said.
Amen.
You say, oh, I got this. Well, if you got a quote that's contrary to the Bible, Brother Branham's not wrong. The Bible's not wrong. So guess who's wrong? You are. Well, how many times did we read in the Bible? Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. We read it.
Right.
Two people. And tried to convert them to it. And it's what the Bible says.
Right.
But that ain't what the Bible says.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
It's to me, it gets more clear. In this fifth seal, a lot of things have cleared up for me, myself. And I hope it's helped you clear things up. And it's not just when you see grace
right.
extended to you, that blindness was in part to a group of people that God loved, He cherished, He held them. He was married to that person, Israel. And He had to divorce her because of what she did, which was the judgment. But then He blinded their eyes so that we could come in, and then He's going to lift that off of them. We're going to read it here in just a minute. Right here, we're going to read it right here. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Now listen, Jesus is not going to physically appear to the Jews when we leave.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But they're going to see Jesus Christ through those two prophets. They're going to preach Him so real until they're going to see they put those wounds in His hands. You and I have never seen the wounds in Jesus' hand, have you? But I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it. It's real. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. In the house of my friends. Remember, Abraham was not a son of God. Abraham was a friend of God.
Amen.
Only sons and daughters of God have the new birth in their soul.
Amen.
Abraham did not have the new birth in his soul.
Right.
So he was a friend of God.
Amen.
I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Remember, the Bible's called Abraham a friend of God, right? So that's why he said, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, what? Word. Against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Who was the little one we just talked about? Benjamin. The Benjamin group is the 144,000. Listen, after we leave, that's the last group to receive Christ as Savior. Because then everybody else dies, and then we go to White Throne Judgment and the foolish virgin. They are given eternal life, but they didn't accept Christ here, or they had already took a rapture. Amen. The cup of water in my name, all the people that's going to be good, that's going to be given eternal life, they got to wait. Remember, the Bible says the dead live not for 1,000 years. Amen. Zechariah 12 says, I will pour upon the house of David. Now, what is he talking about? Jews, Israel. David was Jew. And upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of what? Grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. Brother Brown said they'll come to realization that they killed him and they missed him. They missed their Messiah, and actually they physically put him on a cross. Amen. And shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley. It's kind of strange. It comes up in the valley of Megiddo where the battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. Amen. And the land shall mourn every family apart. Is everybody all right with that? Say amen. All right, let's go to number 3 and read this real quick. Now, who are these souls then? That's the next thing. Who are they then if they are not the early church? This is Israel that's to be saved as a nation. All of them that are predestinated. That's Israel. That's Israel itself. Oh, you say, wait a minute. They can't. Oh, yes, they are to be saved. Here, let's settle it just a minute. I got 4 or 5 scriptures. I'll take one. Let's take Romans just a minute. Find out if they are. Hold on. Let's keep the book of Romans and go to the 11th chapter of Romans, and we'll find out let's just read it, and then we'll have it by ourselves. Romans, the 11th chapter, 25th, 26th verse. Now listen at Paul. Paul said, if anyone else, even an angel, preached any other gospel, what he was to be, cursed. Watch. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery. We just read that. Lest you be wise in your own conceit. There you are. The blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile to be come in. The last Gentile bride be brought in for the bride. The blindness comes to Israel for that purpose. Right. All right. And so all Israel shall be saved. That is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer. We just read that. And shall turn away ungodliness for Jacob. Right. Yeah. Now they are Israel that's under this altar. Yeah. Israel was blinded for the very purpose of us being saved. You believe that. Now, who blinded them? God. God blinded his own children. No wonder Jesus standing there at the cross and then Jews howling for his blood. That was his own kids. And he was the scripture. He was himself the word. And here he, knowing that those people would have gladly received him. They knew that Old Testament. That's the reason he blinded them, so that they wouldn't recognize him.
Right.
He came in such an humble way and blinded them to that they wouldn't receive it. See, the scripture said they would do it. And he was blinded. Right. Jesus pitied them even so much to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They were blind. Paul said they were blinded for a cause for us. Amen. Notice now, I want you to watch this real close. They were given robes. They didn't have them. They were given robes, white robes, each of them. Now, the saints now already have one.
Right.
They get it here. But there, they were given robes, and the saints already had theirs and gone on. See, they had not a chance. They had not a chance because they were blinded by God.
Right.
Their own father, so that the grace of God could be fulfilled, so the bride could be taken from the Gentiles. That's why I said blinded by grace. Grace is what blinded. The grace to me and you is what blinded them. The Jews. Amen? So are we a recipient of the 5th seal? Yes. You say, oh, it's to the Jews. Yes, it is, but we're a recipient of it. And then they're a recipient of us receiving Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I like that. Amen. Now, let's go to the next. Scroll it on up. And talk about Joseph for a minute. Remember what happened in the story of Joseph? Joseph was supposedly killed, sold for 30 pieces of silver, perfect type of Christ. Well, when he went to Egypt, what was he given? He was given a Gentile bride.
Right. the other of the children of Israel were cut off. Right? Just like what happened now. Cut off. The children of Israel were cut off. But what did, when they come to get provisions, what did Joseph remember? Joseph didn't physically blind their eyes because he was one man during a story. But they were blinded because he what? He put on a different veil. Hello? He put on a different veil and changed his voice. I believe his voice was heard by the Gentile bride, but not by the... Because they didn't know who he was. They assumed he was dead. Especially Reuben and all them that were, you know, they got caught up in that. They're the ones that did that. Right? Reuben and them knew what they'd done to Joseph, but they really didn't know what happened afterwards because they lost touch with him. During 2,000 years, he was getting a Gentile bride, and they were thinking he was dead. Amen? But what happened when he come back and he said, hey, because remember, during that story, remember God crossed the arms of the two twins that came out. Right, Brother Larry? One was the younger and one, supposed to be, the ribbon was tied on the first one to come out because that was the firstborn. Right. Remember, he pulled his arm back and the second baby was born. God had crossed his, he said, well, what happened? He said, I didn't cross their arms. He said, God crossed their arms. Right. Why? It was the old Orthodox Jew that now had a new kid. Us. Right. Amen? Perfect tie. Then you come up with Joseph here, and now he's standing in a court with all of his brothers, standing around him, his own blood brothers, and they didn't know who he was. But what did he do? He sent the Gentile bride to the castle, sent her, he raptured her into the castle, and then what did he do? He revealed himself to the Jews. He revealed himself, and you know, what did he say? He said, this was to preserve you. This was to preserve life. This was so I could get a Gentile bride and that we could have two children. The whole story, we could go all over the story, but let's not go through it. But read the story of Joseph as a type of Christ, but read it with this fifth seal in mind where he revealed himself. Now, after the Gentile bride's gone, he reveals himself to his brethren and then they're saved, right? He gives them all that provision. They're saved. He brings them in, right? So now let's read the fifth seal. Now notice, these souls under the altar was these souls, understanding now that are under the altar, why they were martyred by sinful men like Eichmann, see? They're holding right on millions of them, but they remain Jews. Right. Now remember, what is it? They were killed for the word of God's sake, not for the testimony of Christ. Do you understand that? But remember, the church come in. Also, the martyrs of the church was for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That makes us different, right? We have the testimony of Jesus Christ here. Yes. How many knows that here too? All right. But these don't have the testimony of Jesus Christ for the word of God and for the testimony which they held as Jews. And Hitler hated them. So did Eichmann. So did Stalin. All of the rest of the world. Oh, yes. But they stayed true. Do you know that the United States knew they were killing those Jews? The United States and England knew from 1942 to 1944 what they were doing and didn't do anything about it. I'm going to read it to you in this article. It's kind of strange that my hometown newspaper, on the day I'm going to speak on this, writes a whole full-page article about the Holocaust. That's not strange. Because it proves a lot of things that we didn't live through, but we've got good, pure history. Right. You know, it didn't happen 5,000 years ago. It happened only 100 years, or 50 years, 60 years ago. For the word of God and for testimony which they held as Jews. And Hitler hated them, so did Eichmann, so did Stalin, all the rest of the world. But they stayed true to what they believed. And they killed them because they were Jews. That's all. I mean, it was just because they were Jews. Now let's go to number 5. Now watch, they had in their blindness martyred their Messiah. Let's go back 2,000 years. All right, back to the cross. They had in their blindness martyred their Messiah. And now they were reaping for it. They realized it. They recognized after it was gone on. they seen then when they come before the altar of God. Now, what's he talking about? When those fifth seal Jews died and they went under that martyr's altar, they realized they martyred Jesus because, look, it says right there. And now they were reaping for it. They seen then they come before the altar of God, but now the grace of God is to them. Now watch. Now they could not by no means be saints because they would already be robed, but here they are now just souls under the altar for the word of God, testimony they held, for being God's people, the Jews. But now watch. The grace, every time, if you read, ever read the fifth seal, circle every time Brother Ram said grace. It's phenomenal how many pages of grace is in this because it's the grace seal. The grace of God comes to them and Jesus gives them each one a white robe. Watch. Plumb over after the church is gone. Because they were loyal to their cause and they were blinded and they didn't know it. They didn't know it. They were playing exactly the part that God had ordained for them to play. And here John looks over and sees souls under the altar. Now watch. He sees those souls. Watch what he calls them. They cry, Lord, how long? Just a little while longer. See? Let's get that as we go down through the scripture. They realized they had been murdered. They had murdered their Messiah. And they didn't know it, but then they realized they got murdered back to pay for it. They got murdered back to pay for it. For doing the wrong. Now look what a thing they had to do. See, they was guilty of murder, so they got murdered. Wow, that's pretty strong, but that's exactly what happened. They cried out, His blood be on us. See, that's right. And they were blinded. Now if they hadn't have been blinded, God said, let them alone, they're not worthy. But being that they were blinded by God, His grace reached down to them, amen. Talk about amazing grace. And give every one of them a robe because all Israel will be saved. Everyone that has his name written. That's right. Let's continue reading. Still in the fifth seal. I do think by the opening of this fifth seal, as I believe that it's open to us, I did it with good conscience, with clear revelation before God. Not trying to just make it think, because I always was against organization. Never would belong to him, but it opened to me now. Now, what he's going to talk about, what he's talked about, I just kind of omitted some of that. You remember when he comes to the book of Revelations 9 and he talks about the 200,000 horsemen being released. They were released on this group of people. But remember, the ecclesiastical was released on me and you. The organizations that were set up. That's what he's talking about, okay? Now, but now look, he changes his subject here for some unknown reason. He just pops right up and says, I do think another thing by the opening of the fifth seal on this day. Straightens up a doctrine right here that I might speak of soul sleeping. And I just wanted to cover this in case somebody thought, just looking in, you never know, somebody new in the message or whatever. Now, I realize there's people here that does believe that. And that doctrine is when you die, you go to the grave and your soul stays there with your body. Your soul stays in that grave in kind of a limbo state. See, now that's a doctrine, not in the message. But this fifth seal disproves that because I think that disproves that. They're not sleeping, they're alive. Their bodies are sleeping, but the soul's not in the grave. They're in the presence of God under the altar. And let's keep reading right here. Now, are to settle it for those whose soul, now watch it, under the altar of the breaking of this seal that had been slain in the time. Now here he's talking, the fifth seal, Jews are the Jews that's been slain from the time between the death of Christ and the going up of the church. The Eichmann group and all them true Jews with their name on the book. If you watch, my brother, according to the scripture, they could talk, cry out, speak, hear, and had all five senses, not sleeping in the grave unconscious. They were very much awake and could talk, speak, hear, anything else. Now we're going to paragraph 459. Brother Brown begins to hint. He's humming. Only believe, I think, or I love him one. Now quietly, reverently before God, as we've seen this seal open to us, God having to take his own beloved children and blind their eyes and send them because of his own judgment. See, remember, he couldn't send them in the sixth dimension. That's where the bride goes. So he had to make a place for them. a place of holding. God having to take his own beloved children and blind their eyes and send them because of his own justice requires judgment of sin. Think of it. His judgment, justice, and his holiness requires justice. A law without a penalty is not a law. And his own laws himself he cannot defy and still remain God. That's the reason God had to become man. He couldn't take a substitute. A son that wasn't just an ordinary son to him or something. God became both. Jesus became both son and God. The only way he could justly do it. God had to take the penalty himself. It wouldn't be just to put it on somebody else, another person. So the person of Jesus was God manifested in the flesh called Emmanuel. Now watch, here's his whole point. And to do that, and to take a bride, and to save a lost bunch of heathen Gentiles. He's talking about me and you. He had to blind his own children and then punish them for it in the flesh for rejection. But his grace provided robes. His grace provided robes for every one of them. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read this right here just for a minute. At the peak of the Holocaust, the Nazis murdered 14,000 Jews per day. Okay? In the ledger of evils perpetrated by humans, Operation Reinhard holds a special place. Over the course of 21 months, starting in March 1942, Nazi forces and their collaborators rounded up 1.7 million Jews from 393 Polish towns. So they were only dealing with Poland, which is real close to Germany. And ghettos and dispatched them in tightly packed rail cars to three camps in Germany, occupied Poland, Sobibor, Treblinka, and Belzec. At these three killing centers, members of Poland's once thriving Jewish community were murdered with such efficiency and ruthlessness that roughly 1.5 million Jews who passed through their gates, a mere 102 would survive to bear witness. By November of 1943, when Operation Reinhard ended, essentially, no Polish Jews were left for the Germans to kill. Listen, Hitler's final Jewish question was to get rid of them. Not one of them, or 100 of them, all of them.
Right.
He was going to exterminate the whole, kind of strange that he had a little Jewish background.
Right.
Pitiful, isn't it? All right, this guy drew upon a painstaking account of Nazi trains scheduled to analyze the kill rate of Jews between February 42 and December 1944. Within Operation Reinhard's 21-month campaign of extermination, he discovered a 92-day period that stands out for its ferocity. In August, September, and October of 1942, he calculated German forces and their allies in Poland killed at least 1.32 million Jews. That averages out to 14,348 Jews per day, every day. 14,000 a day. Basically, you take 1.3 million, that's probably the population of Atlanta. And within 3 months, it's empty. This concentration of murder in a 3 month period likely created substantial confusion amongst its victims. And its speed would have made it impossible to organize a resistance. The Jews calculated this thing. They did it so fast, because you know what? If they started just bringing two or three of us out of the building, you know, some of us would kind of catch on and we'd probably try to, you know, get us some guns or something. But they did it so fast that the possibility of organized resistance was difficult to coordinate in that time. Stone used the authoritative estimates of the Holocaust toll on Jews, which ranged from 5.1 million to 6.2 million. That's half of the state of Georgia. I think Georgia's got 12 million people in the state. Half the state of Georgia was wiped out. To reckon that as many as a quarter of the Nazis' Jewish victims were murdered during these 3 months of Operation Reinhold. We're preparing war crimes. Here it is right here. Document recently unearthed from the United Nations says the governments of the United States, Britain, and the Soviet Union were aware that at least 2 million Jews had been murdered, and another 5 million were at risk of being killed. Although they were preparing war crimes against Hitler and his generals, the Allied powers did little to protect or provide sanctuary for Europe's Jews. They were scared. We exterminate them, we'll exterminate you. But this is where this 6 million Jews, we know where they're at now. We know the reason that happened. Amen? Listen to this. I'm going to read this and I'm going to read another statement. An estimated 292,000 of the 1.3 million perished during a spasm of violence. They were killed by bullets by special mobile shooting squads called the Einsgruppen. The remaining were dispatched by poison gas within hours of their arrival at the death camp. Brother Branham tells us in the Feast of the Trumpets, he reads Revelations 9. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. What were the three woes? Three wars. First World War was over. Here comes two more. Second had to come, and then we're looking for a third World War. Right? But we're not going to be here. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. Brother Brown talks on the fifth seal, and the Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 173. They don't have this. I'm just going to read it. Now, he loosed under that sixth seal those 200,000 spiritual demons started in Rome. See, they were released under the sixth seal, but remember, they had to come under that. They brought that fifth seal Jew inside that. All right? It wasn't that Brother Brown was wrong. Okay? And notice over in the Bible where they received power as kings but weren't crowned. Because remember, Eichmann and Hitler never were kings. They were dictators. But they never became a king, but they acted like kings. He said, oh, the Spirit of God moving through me now, just saying something. I don't know how to say it. He says, notice, 200,000 demons turned loose upon those Jews. When they burned them, they crucified them. They put bubbles in their veins. They killed them till they had no more gas to kill them with. They shot them till they had no more bullets to shoot them with. And they done everything they could do. They cremated the bodies and everything, hung them on fences. Innocent people. Because they were Jews, they were done that way. But God said he gave each one of them a robe, undeserving as they were, but his grace to blind them so that we could see. Notice, we find out natural power under the natural to a natural nation, Israel, was loosed. And what did it do? It went and made war and how it murdered and persecuted. Now, in the ecclesiastical realm of it, I hope that God opened your eyes to this now. Because I realize this is just not speaking to this church here. This tape goes worldwide, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. Now, the ecclesiastical realm has been opened from the natural revival of the old pagan Rome, went forth on those Jews, which has always been their enemy. The lion with teeth and everything stomped down and broke out the people. Rome always has been God's enemy. And it was turned loose in the same spirit by the dictators of the world because the religious system was still holding during that time. Now, he said, it's been loosed. So those 200,000 demons, the same demons that killed all those under Eichmann and Hitler, are after me and you. They're after us. They're after us, but you know what? They can only try their best, but we live under the promise of God that says we're going to take a rapture. We're going to take a body change. We're going to come to a state of perfection. We're going to have a body change, and we're going to take a rapture. And all of you remember Brother Branham, he makes a statement. I didn't put this down, but in 1960, remember they had the Nuremberg, which they brought all the chiefs in, and they did to them what they did to the Jews. But there was one called Adolf Eichmann. He was the worst of the bunch. Dr. Death. They found him in 1960. And then they tried him in 1961. And Brother Branham on the fifth seal, I didn't bring it, but he says, you see, they just came through that. What was that? Was the last one of that group that had been terminated because of the killing of the Jews. He said, see there, he said, that's ended. So see, that ended under when that person was killed, that spirit of that thing left. And that was all under that's Adolf Eichmann in 1960. He was executed in 1962. But you see how rough this is. But he protected a whole fifth seal Jew. You know all this happened? So you and me could come in. Them 200,000 demons were held under the river Euphrates, not over there under a river. Good grief. No. They weren't under a river and all of a sudden God parted the waters and the demons came out. No. A man named Adolf Hitler and all these different ones, they come up in power and Satan anointed them with all those demons and they decided they was going to kill. But you know what? Poor Adolf Hitler. He thought he was doing the world a service. Everybody down through those ages thought they was doing the world a service at getting rid of the Jews. But in all actuality, they're working right into God's plan that I've preserved this group of people in secret and not going to let you know about it until I come to it, bring it to a prophet and let the fifth seal open, showing my grace. You think Adolf Hitler had grace? Adolf Hitler didn't have grace. He wanted them all dead. But in killing 6.8 million of them, think about this. That put them in the fifth dimension. They're going to be eternal. And Adolf Hitler's going to go where he goes and all of his other people that thought they were doing God a service on earth by taking care of this group of people. And in all actuality, he was working right into the hand of God, putting that same group of people he despised is one day going to walk the streets of gold with me and you side by side. And they're going to be given eternal life. They're going to be given white robes in their journey. I mean, in their continuous of the book of redemption. Amen. So the fifth seal, nothing to me I see is but grace, but that grace is extended to me and you that God saved you and you didn't want it. You didn't want it. But now that we do have it, now that we do realize that there's a place for the fifth seal Jew, there's a place for in the sixth dimension for all the dead that's went on that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're waiting. But you know what they're all waiting on? Me and you. They're waiting on me and you to come to a place that we realize that not grace is coming. Grace is here. Grace is a person. Grace is Jesus Christ that come to you and took your sin away. And he can't remember it, just like that fifth seal Jew. He can't give them white robes if he remembers what they've done. I believe he threw that in the sea of forgetfulness and said, this is my group of people right here. I'm going to have this group of people. They're going to be special, but I blinded their eyes so that I could take a Gentile bride. And then when we move out of the way, he's going to go take 144,000, bring them out of this world, and put them in the same place you and I are. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you. There's your fifth seal, grace.
Right.
Amazing grace.
Glory.
It's grace. My, you think about a group of people. Now, let me make this clear. Like I said before, I don't think this is every Jew that considered themselves a Jew. Because remember, God knows the heart.
Right.
He knows that person, and if they just said, well, okay, I'm a Jew. You know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Brother Brown said those who are predestinated. God knows their heart. And when they're standing there in that gas chamber, you know what they may cry out? They may say, Jehovah, because they only know him as Jehovah. Jehovah God, come and help us. And he did. Sure, they had to be killed by the millions. But when that flesh body went into the ground, that soul went over into a dimension. Now, which one's greater? Because that soul of that person is going to come back here in a glorified body. Listen, they're not going to walk around just as Theophanes. They're going to get a glorified body just like you got. Amen?
Amen.
What a wonderful, wonderful God we serve. Sing a song.
Amen.
Let's sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
Amazing Grace. how sweet. You think about what God did for you when you were standing out in the world of sin and you didn't care one thing about God. You didn't care one thing about grace. You didn't care one thing about going to church. You didn't care. You were the child of the devil. But God had a plan. God had a way to get to you that no one else in this world know how to do it. Your mama can't save you, your daddy can't save you, your brother can't save you. God Almighty is the only person that can save you. My heart you feel. You know, I think about when John Newton was writing that song. He looked down at those slaves all those years. He was a slave trader. He took slaves back and forth across the ocean. And he would listen to them, not sing Amazing Grace, but they would sing a song that had that same rhythm to it. From their homeland, a group of people that did not know where they were going, did not know where they were going to land, did not know where they were going to be. They were sold into slavery by man. But all thank God that one day John Newton found God. And that's all he could say was Amazing Grace. Already come. Oh, 'tis grace that has brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home.
It's just crazy.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Today. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's sing it like this. Oh, when we been there, not just 10,000 years, forevermore, bright shine. You know, there's about three more verses of that song that I'd like to find. Because, man, it talks about your flesh and about all the... Yeah, His word has promised good to me. His faith, my hope, endures. I can't get the rest of it. We'll find it, though, because really that's the original verses that John Newton wrote. And then he wrote these afterwards. But I really like the ones that was wrote first because it really has another meaning to them. But it is Amazing Grace. Man, when you look at what happened, where you came from, it's as a miracle as that fifth sealed Jew. But you and I are holding this whole thing up. We're lining those seals up. Brother Dale's bringing in the church ages. We've had Daniel 70 weeks. We're coming to a place, folks. That's why I said this year, 2019, is going to be a special year. We're going to see a lot of things. But remember, when you say that in the Christian realm, you got to remember that as some go, some go. Brother Brown said some will be able to go all the way, some will not be able to go all the way. Some will be able to take it, some won't be able to take it. But you know what? If you'll live His promise, do what He says, that's what He did with the Jews. They stood there and said, we are Jews. We are God's people. And Hitler said, well, you're going to die. And they said, well, we can't deny who we are. You're just going to have to do with us what you're going to do with us. Amen? Same way with us. I mean, what are you and I looking at? There's nothing we can do about this flesh. It's in Satan's domain. It's in Satan's Eden. Fill the soul with the Holy Ghost, though, and then work on that next man.
Amen?
Amen? Then this will have to lean into, it'll have to lean toward that. We're all leaning toward death. Whether you believe that or not. Every year that gets longer, I'll be 59 here in a few days. Getting close to 60. Some of you are way on past that. So, we need to move on. But take one day at a time. I like what Brother Claude said. I'm going to leave you with this. Matthew 24 says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. You won't know it until you get to the end if you really, really got the goods. But you will know it when you get closer toward that end. You'll know that you know that you know that God has done a work in your life. That God has done not just grace, but amazing grace. But let's don't make it greasy grace. Let's don't just live any way we want to. Let's come to church and do what we're supposed to do. I'll say one more time, if you have an office in this church, you need to be here every time that something happens like that. You need to be here because you know what? People are watching you. And when you don't show up, what are you doing? If we're putting an office, we're fixing to elect officers again. We got to do that pretty quick. Either we want to live it or we don't. We're going to pray over these cloths. I want everybody to bow their head. Now this is for Brother Micah and Sister Mary. What's the baby's name? Scarlet. Scarlet. Scarlet? Yeah, Scarlet. We're going to pray for those three. They're going to Japan. Now, as working for the government, he's going to Japan to do something for a couple of years. Whatever time, doesn't matter. But we're going to send these prayer cloths with them. They're going to take them with them. And that we're going to pray that God will anoint them the whole time they're there. I don't know of a message church in Japan. They might be one, but they might not be close to one. But they're going to be 18 or 20 hours away from us. But you know what? That to God, that ain't even, that's not that much. But we're going to send these prayer cloths because we believe in it. We believe that these cloths will do what they said they'll do because there was a group of people in the book of Acts that believed clothes that come off of Paul, demons would leave when they'd lay that cloth on the people. So if there's any demons over there, we're going to talk to them today and we're going to send these cloths over there. And where these prayer cloths go, the demons will flee. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's all pray together as you keep playing. Dear Heavenly Father, we know it is truly amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And now that we come under this umbrella that's called the bride, Lord, we have an intimate relationship with you, the Creator. And you told us through the book of Acts that we could take cloths and pray over them and anoint them and send them out. And the anointing of that cloth, not just the material itself, but the prayers of all the bride in this building is praying that where those cloths are placed, be a drawer or in a car or over the door or anywhere they travel, keeping them on their self and little Scarlet, that the demons will have to flee because not the power of the cloth, but the power of the prayer behind it. Lord, we pray that you would anoint them truly for their journey that they're going to take. Father, they're one of us. We love them like our own children. And Lord, we pray that you'd protect them and that their little light would shine wherever they go. And maybe as they go over there, Lord, they find some believers. Or maybe they see a group, Lord, that they want to witness to. Father, just give them the anointing to witness to that group of people. Because everybody can be saved. Whether it be whatever nationality, doesn't matter. And the language barrier can be broken by you, Lord. Speak through our brother and sister, Lord. And let they be a lighthouse, Lord, as they journey over to a foreign country. Lord, we realize that there's things over there that's not over here. Sickness, disease, different demons. But, Lord, that's why we're sending these claws. To protect them. To help them have faith in you, Lord. And, Lord, that we'll see them again. And that they'll have some really good reports, Lord. We ask you just bless us now in the ending of this service, Lord. Ending of this fifth seal, Lord, seeing that, wow, what grace that was extended. That you blinded your own children so that this group of people can receive a revelation of who you are. And become intimate with you, Lord. We're your bride, Father. We pray now that you'd go with us, Lord, this week. That you'll give us, Lord, a supernatural charge. In this year, 2019, Lord, may we live closer to you. All these New Year's resolutions of weight loss and all this stuff, I want to lose some demons. I want to lose some things that's been bothering me. I know that the group of here wants that's here now, that they want to lose not so much weight, but, Lord, the weight of sin that so easily besets us. And let us run this race with patience. Lord, knowing the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. And that we become more intimate with you, Lord, as the year goes forth. Lord, forgive us of our sins and bless this day. Take care of us, Lord, as we go out of the building. Be with the ones on the highways. Lord, when we come back on Wednesday, just anoint Brother Bob with a supernatural anointing to break the word down for us, Lord. Be with Brother Luis as he's on his way home, Lord. And be with us next Wednesday, Lord, that he brings a report. We've already heard some, Lord, of just some wonderful things that happened. We thank you for our brother, Lord, that's able to do that. And, Lord, I pray today that you'd bless his job, bless the man that lets him do these things. Lord, he's there with Brother Joe and Brother Richard, Brother Luis. Lord, and I believe he has a heart for mission work, a good nominal Christian. And he lets these brothers go and do things, Lord. And I pray that you'd bless him. Anoint him, Lord, with the spirit of truth. Lord, take care of us, Lord. Be with us on the highways. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet it is the sound that saves. Kathy. Like me.